broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Yes, indeed, my fellow Americans, this is the broadcast for October the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers. Brilliant, and the great solution. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration, if you will, of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Peaceful restoration is, in my personal opinion, the key to success. Hope you're doing absolutely fantastic. Pray you had a weekend full of God, family, and country, and more. And, well, there's a big shooting that took place in Las Vegas, if you haven't heard. The sniper, a 64-year-old man, literally went crazy. He was a 32nd story in a hotel, and he literally just, as a sniper, just murdered all kinds of people. Jason Aldean ran off stage. It was a country concert in Vegas. Last night, late breaking news, 50 people dead, 200 people injured. Tragedy, to say the least. They say the guy was from Nevada. Anyway, I got plenty to say on this story. However, it is late breaking. We have, in my opinion, an important discussion to happen today. So we're going to put off the shooting discussion. I get it. But what I don't like is, it seems like whoever wants to create the most carnage, the most division, the most destruction in America somehow controls the news narrative. I find that very destructive. It's unacceptable. Because all the good that happens in the world gets eclipsed by this stuff. And there are no good answers when people turn their back on God. It's that simple. Oh, speaking of God, that's exactly what we want to talk about today. Yeah, when I first got into radio, I had a chance to be a big-time talk show host. They told me if I'd quit talking about God. And I said, if God's out, I'm out. And we didn't do it. And, well, we'll probably pay dearly in the world of stardom forever. My response? Who cares? We're talking about things that matter. We're talking about the most critical solutions to the problems we face in America. And we're talking about God, family, and country. We're talking about life, liberty, and property. We're talking about all things that matter most. And if we can't talk about those things, I have no business belonging on the radio. I make more money in everything else than I do in radio anyway. But I feel like I have a calling from God to be on the radio, to talk about these critical things, to help set direction for the thoughts and minds and hearts of people everywhere, not only in America, but worldwide, and set their hearts on the things that matter most, the things of salvation, the things of solutions, the things of family, the things of hope, the things of bringing people together. It's all about answers. It's all about how to have a better life and to help others do the same. It's all about documenting the realities of what we can do to make a difference. And if we leave the world a better place than we found it, we have succeeded, no matter how big or small we are in this big, huge world we find ourselves in. They say it's a small world, and to some degree it's true, especially when you can hear my voice worldwide these days via the incredible internet, via Liberty Roundtable Live. Welcome to the broadcast. Sorry for the long, drawn-out discussion. But over the weekend, while this guy was literally murdering people and committing carnage Sunday night, me, my family, and almost everybody I know, I shouldn't say everybody I know, but a significant amount of friendly people and everything else, were involved in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints General Conference. You say, what's that? Well, it's a semi-annual event where 15-plus million members worldwide get together and take part in the semi-annual general conference. It happens over the internet. It happens in church buildings across the world. It's recorded. It's available at LDS.org. Whether you're a Mormon or not, all the proceedings are available for you to enjoy as you will. And whether you're a Mormon or not, I want to articulate the issues that were discussed. Now, Kirk Crosby's with me. You with me, Kirk?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Couldn't get a hold of Kurt, pre-show time. So welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us as well. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
All right, so I want to talk about this Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints event. I want to do kind of a round-robin discussion of the things that stood out most and why. And the reason that I want to focus on this instead of the shooting is because I want to focus on solutions and what we can do. So we were learning to obey God's laws, promote our families, reject the world for things that are of greater worth, greater value, learn to work together, learn to serve others, find solutions. While people were at a rock concert on the Sabbath who all got, you know, a lot of them got killed in this rampage. And really, I think it's a contrast that I think is worth highlighting is the point. In this semi-annual general conference, we hear from leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the 12 Apostles, and many other church general authorities. You see, the Mormons believe, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believes that they have the same church Jesus Christ had on the earth, just restored in the latter days, and that it's the same organization that existed in the primitive or earlier church when Jesus Christ was alive. So the topics that I heard discussed, and I just wrote kind of keywords for some of these, and then we'll get into what Lowell and Kurt think, and then we'll expound on some of these topics in detail as well. But serve, meaning serve others, pray, repent, have faith, learn to trust Jesus Christ, forgive all, love others, and God, keep the commandments, testify of Christ, sacrifice, be patient, read the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ daily, which is a companion book to the scriptures. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, was the point. Learn to make our will God's will. The family, a proclamation to the world. We warn that the disintegration of the family will bring upon individuals, communities, and nations the calamities foretold by ancient and modern prophets. So basically, it was a double down on all things that we can do to improve our lives and to become more like Christ. And ultimately, the point is that Christ did die on the cross and was resurrected. And because of him, we can follow him, and there is incredible hope. God lives, and he loves us. And there are modern prophets on the earth today that teach us God's word. And we can all become part of that and qualify for the blessings God has for us. What are those blessings? A happy life, hope in the future, understanding of and an appreciation of gratitude for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we will live again, that families can be perpetuated beyond the grave, that husbands and wives and traditional marriage matter. One man, one woman marriages are critical. Even though we have these doctrinal beliefs, we respect others' beliefs that differ from ours, and we will be kind and respectful to all people. But that the blessings of God are available to all as well. Anyway, that's my summary. It was an incredible event. It's got literally 12 hours to the conferences. Women have a two-hour meeting. The men have a two-hour meeting. Then you have 8 hours of four sessions. So in all, you got 12 hours of instruction twice a year, instructing people in how to focus on God, family, and country, and how to care for others and serve and love and do all those things that, in my opinion, every one of them are solutions oriented. All right. Do you want to go next, Lowell?
Sure. Because I was a merit badge counselor. I taught all three citizenship merit badges. I'll tie this in. And citizenship in the community, a lot of people don't realize this, but over a fifth of the budget of a city typically is devoted to safety. And when they say safety, they're really talking about law enforcement. In other words, police. And police the number of police that a city hires and employs most of the time is done in proportion to the amount of crime in the community and the amount of trespassing and criminal mischief and so forth that goes on. And so one of the things that I taught the scouts whenever I would teach this merit badge was, it's so important for you to be responsible, to be a responsible citizen, for you to govern yourself and to not cause any criminal mischief. I say, if you cause mischief, then you're just causing taxes on your parents to go up.
Hang tight. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty in Seconds. We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints General Conference. He's a merit badge counselor for scouts, and he's got lessons learned about self-government.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Lowell Nelson, you're talking about core values, right? Self-government.
That's right, Sam. And about this relationship between a person's ability to govern themselves and to be a good citizen in the community and not cause any criminal mischief. So the relationship between that and the expense that the community takes on, the burden to police the community and to provide safety officers and so forth. Most people don't realize that the budget of a city, maybe a fifth, maybe a fourth of the city's entire budget is devoted to law enforcement. I mean, it's incredible. It certainly surprised me. Do I think it should be that high? No. But I also believe that if a family will teach values of honesty and self-governance in their homes, then the community is going to be much, much better off in the long run, because they won't be devoting so many of their tax dollars toward, you know, law enforcement and police and so forth. And that's why this proclamation on the family, I think, is so important. I'm so glad that it was discussed yesterday. In fact, Dallin Oaks was the one who talked about it. Dallin Oaks, for many people might remember, he served on the Utah Supreme Court for 4 years before accepting an apostolic assignment in the LDS Church. And he highlighted, you know, just a few things which I think are absolutely important. I'll just mention them. A couple statements here from the proclamation. Marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God, and the family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness, to provide for their physical and spiritual needs, and to teach them to love and serve one another, observe the commandments of God, and be law-abiding citizens wherever they live. And so I just think that's so appropriate and so relevant to our discussion, Stan, because every morning we get on here, we talk about the importance of liberty, right? The importance of freedom. Well, I have always said that one can never be truly free unless he is also free from sin. And so a lot of people, that may not mean a lot to a lot of people, and that's fine. But I happen to believe that, you know, vice and sin, do cause a burden on a person, and they can drag them down and make them less than what they could be. And through the atonement of Jesus Christ, these sins can be remitted. A person can be forgiven of those sins, whether it's an individual sin or the burden that a community carries because of the criminal mischief that occurs there. These things can be remedied and can go away, and you can thereby lower the tax burden that's borne by all the citizens of your community, Sam.
All right, there you have it, Kirk Cosby. You want to chime in? I left you for last just because I figure you're smarter than the rest of us. If you take away all what I had to say, then I wouldn't even know what to say. But I figure, hey, Kirk Cosby's well-versed enough where Sam and Lowell can go, and Kurt will still have plenty to contribute.
Yeah. You know, at least when I look at this conference, for me at least, the highlight, or, you know, some would say the low light, I guess, would be the actual death of an apostle during the, you know, while the proceedings are in progress, pretty much. In between the last two sessions, one of the senior members of what's called the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Robert D. Hales, passed away, 12:15 Mountain Time, so it was just barely after the end of one session and before the other one. His quorum president had gone to be with he and his wife at the hospital there, and so he was there as he passed away. And you look at this man, Elder Hales, his life, and you look at the young man who was a stellar fighter pilot, then went on to Harvard, had an MBA there, played baseball at University of Utah. I mean, this is a promising career guy. Was in big business and all that kind of things, and yet responded to the call to give full-time service in the service of the master, and did that for 40 plus years. When you see those kind of things, at least in my opinion, it makes you ask yourself a simple question: why would someone do that? And the answer is pretty glaring for me, in that that's the kind of stuff that life is really made of.
All right, excellent. Anything to follow up by Lowell?
Well, yes. I love how these natural disasters, the Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, and so forth, there was brief mention made of that, but the thing that I most delighted in was the fact that so many people throughout the country went to help their fellow neighbors that were in need. They even showed pictures of some of the, you know, the yellow T-shirts that the people wore, called the Helping Hands T-shirts, and these people were called Yellow Angels. The T-shirt was yellow, had a pair of hands on to show that they're helping, and so they had these Yellow Angels, circulating in Texas and in Florida and Puerto Rico, and wherever there was a need, there were people there in Helping Hands T-shirts and otherwise helping out, rebuild, muck out basements, saw trees, get them out of the driveways and so forth. I mean, just helping people, to put their lives back together after such a horrific a natural disaster such as these hurricanes that have come through in the last month or two. And it's heartwarming, Sam. It's just heartwarming to see all of the love that's demonstrated from person to person. You know, you hear some of these news stories that we unfortunately heard, like the Las Vegas shooting, and that is tragic, absolutely tragic. But we also love to hear the great news stories of people helping people. That's one of the things I always loved about Paul Harvey News, was that he would just sprinkle his newscast with all of the good things that were going on. And we as a family, we just love to sit around the radio and listen to his newscast at noon every day for 5 or 6 minutes. He would just talk about all the good things that were happening, you know, in the world, people helping people. And it reminded me of this quote that Joseph Smith Jr., who LDS church members believed restored the church to the earth in these latter days. He said, quote, "A man filled with the love of God is not content with blessing his family alone, but ranges through the whole world, anxious to bless the whole human race," end of quote. And that's the feeling that so many good people, not just members of the church, but good people everywhere, they want to help others. And that's the message, that's the story that I love to hear and I love to tell. Good people everywhere are helping other people, you know, dig their way out of the disasters, the natural disasters that befall them. I think that's a great story, Sam.
All right, anything else, Kurt?
I don't know what else to add, Sam, on that. I mean, it's hopeful thoughts, focus that is impressive to me when you look at what. You know, overall, the world sees as the top news stories. When you see these individuals, members of the church gathering and others outside the proceedings trying to save them from their happiness, I laud their efforts, even though I am one of them. I think that they are, if not the solution, a main part of the solution for the world's ills today.
And that's kind of really the big reason that I focus on this, is because I believe it's solutions and hope based. And I really believe in our society, one of the biggest problems we have is the lack of hope and the lack of solutions oriented direction, if you will. And so, you know, I know everybody else is going to be talking about the mass shootings, the Donald Trump battle, the hurricanes, I get it. I understand covering it, but I also think we better be very careful not to let them control the narrative. I mean, literally, when we want to cover something important, just imagine Satan running around thinking, man, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Lowell Nelster are going to talk about all the saving principles taught by prophets of God. And they're going to tell the world about it on their radio program. And, man, what can be done to stop that? Now, I know that sounds a little bit too direct and extreme, but the point's, in my mind, well taken, that we've got to work on solutions and we've got to make sure that we don't get derailed from critical discussions. When we return a couple of more points, then we'll move on to some other interesting news. Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam, Kurt, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The leaders of Germany and France say they plan an intensive drive to more deeply integrate the European Union after Brexit. The French president called upon the EU to, quote, work more closely on defense and migration for a Eurozone budget. He said there's a common realization of a need for a leap forward in Europe. Critics, though, say many countries, such as Poland, Hungary, and the Czechoslovakian Republic, have resisted a call to bring in migrants, possibly not being as compassionate as other nations and looking out for themselves, but at the same time, they have seen less of a spike in crime. The White House is going to begin a comprehensive review of American policy on China. The goal is to, quote, clearly outline American goals, ensure that U.S. policies are designed to achieve those goals, and get everyone in the administration on the same page. The review was first proposed in June. It will also take full account of China's economic and strategic ambitions and provide a vast range of policy options in the coming years. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Fun game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to want it more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Serve others. Pray always. Repent daily. Have faith. Learn to trust Jesus Christ. Forgive all. Love God and man. Keep the commandments. Testify often. Sacrifice willingly. Exercise patience. Read the Book of Mormon daily, another testament of Jesus Christ. Make our will God's will. The family, the proclamation to the world. We warn that the disintegration of the family will bring upon individuals, communities, and nations the calamities foretold by ancient and modern prophets. The family is the key. The family is the fundamental unit of society. The importance of self-government based on core values. Those are just some of the things that we learned over the weekend at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints semi-annual general conference. You want to learn about it, LDS.org. It's available there. Check it out. Doesn't matter if you're a Mormon or not. And we try to cover Mormon issues when they're hot. Well, when a 15 million member church meets with guidance and direction for the world, it's important and worth mentioning, whether you're a Mormon or not. Hearing about what we're talking about is vital. Same thing when the Catholics teach and release things, the Pope, etc., or the Baptists, or any large religious denomination. Anything good that we can take from any of those groups, hey, bring it on. We love it. We appreciate it. We'll do our best to cover it all. And if we're not experts on it, we don't mind people dialing in to kind of add knowledge and add to the mix to make sure that we cover it appropriately as well. So there you go. Hopefully it was worth your time to listen and consider. But I believe it's solutions oriented, to say the least. All right. There's some good things happening coming up this Tuesday. Lowell, you got the details on this?
Well, let's see. Tuesday, which...
It's tomorrow. It's a huge vote. It's called one of the greatest pro-life opportunities since the Supreme Court Roe versus Wade decision.
Oh, yes. It's the pain-capable bill in Congress, right?
Yes. This bill, if enacted, makes it a crime for any person to perform or attempt to perform a late-term abortion if it's 20 weeks or more. And I guess tomorrow, Tuesday, Congress or the U.S. House of Representatives will be voting on H.R. What is it, 36?
Yeah, something
the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, if you will. H.R. 36. Now, here's the cool part. If the House passes it, if the Senate passes it, Donald has already said he'll sign it.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed to signing it into law. This is critical, folks. They say refusing to protect life after 20 weeks gestation is inhumane and barbaric. Matthew Staver, Liberty Counsel, a good friend of ours, LC.org, says, I am also calling for unified prayer that God will move on the hearts of lawmakers and act to protect innocent preborn babies. Boy, do I concur. Boy, is this an epic opportunity. I wish we had more time to campaign and promote this, but we don't. But it is happening, and you can be part of the solution now. We had a pro-life expert on last week who said the problem is not enough Americans are engaged in moving the needle towards pro-life and liberty in this situation, and that's the biggest problem of all. I concur, Lowell.
Well, I would suppose that there's probably a lot of feminist groups that will oppose this and will be, you know, they'll say that pro-choice in the case of a woman, you know, is her right to her own body is being denied, and probably that's the typical argument that will be coming out of those groups. I mean, I don't know, but you know, one has to respect the rights of the unborn as well as the rights of the living, and you can't just go kill human beings, and so. Regardless of how they're conceived. And so, you know, Sam, this is an interesting dilemma for me because, as you know, I am a huge states' rights supporter, a huge fan of the Constitution, and nowhere in the Constitution is there given authority to the central government to, you know, put their nose in domestic issues. And this obviously is a domestic issue. At some level, I don't find that this is. In fact, even when DOMA was passed back in the 1990s, I said, you know, that was the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. I said to myself, you know, this is not appropriate for the federal government to be legislating in domestic affairs. There's no warrant in the Constitution for it. How would I vote on it? I mean, that would be a huge question for me because. Simply because it's not appropriate for the federal government to be delving into it. If they can delve into this, then they can also pass legislation the other way, you know, making it their responsibility to, to allow abortions. And I just don't believe that the federal government. Yeah, I've never believed in the Supreme Court ruling, the Supreme Court opinion. I mean, that's a state's rights issues, and every single state in the union should have stood up and told the government, the federal government, to take a hike on that issue. We are going to, you know, if a state wants to protect life, then they have the right to do that, regardless of what the Supreme Court opinion is. And the very fact that our states did not do that shows how yellow and how cowardly the states have become, how subservient they've become to the federal government. So I don't know what you want to do with that, Sam.
I understand. Kurt, you want to chime in?
I'm just trying to figure out what to add.
All right, well, I'll throw in a couple of things while you're working on that, Kurt.
All right.
So I would say this. I concur that it's a state's issue, not a federal government issue. However, the whole purpose of government is to protect life, liberty, and property. And so government is in a defensive role, not an offensive role. And in that defensive role, whenever people are wrongfully taking away the life of another, the whole purpose of government should be to stop that. If we're going to say the government doesn't have authority to do that at all levels, then we're going to really come back and say, what's the value of government? If they can't stop them from murdering, then can they stop, you know, can government stop people from taking your stuff? Can government, okay, and so we get into this big, you know, slippery slope. I think that it ought to be left to the states, but I think that clearly the federal government can support moral principle and say, look, we're not going to allow mayhem to happen. Whether it's someone creeping across the border to kill you or your next door neighbor wants to kill you, we're not going to let that death take place on our watch. We're pro-life, not pro-death. And it's a very simple thing. And so when we look at the Ten Commandments, for example, I don't think the government needs to take the lead in those discussions, especially the federal government. But I do think the federal government needs to be friendly to those ends, if you will. And so I'm not saying that we ought to put it all in the purview of the federal government to deal with this, but I think the government ought to simply say, hey, you know what? We're going to support the states in this pro-life stance. We're not going to let people kill people. We're just not doing that. And we're not going to let people steal. We're not going to let people. And so, you know, I don't want to transfer the whole issue to the federal government, but I do think there's a defensive role, a societal norm, a standard, a bulwark of morality that I think the federal government has a duty to support. Kurt, your thoughts?
You know, when you look at this whole issue of life, it's amazing to me to see how we're so, when I say we as a country, I guess, and I don't mean the average Americans. I'm talking about the leaders who have this, who have basically allowed for this kind of 60 million plus people to be killed, gets quite, you know, so concerned about, say, a shooting of 50 people that, you know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. If we're really concerned about life and the killing of individuals, then we've got to be concerned about them all, whether it's young or
old. I agree with that for sure.
In between.
Now, let's keep it very simple, too. When the people are moral, for literally decades and decades, I would say centuries in this country, we didn't debate whether we were going to be pro-life. It was a given. It was part of the moral fabric of society. And when that happens, government can fulfill its defensive, proper, supportive role. However, when people become immoral, when they turn their backs on God, there are no good solutions. And oftentimes when people don't do what is right themselves, government feels compelled to step in. That's where we are today. When we didn't wholesale murder the most innocent among us, government didn't even make a law about this. But then when we decided to start murdering and turn our back on God as a society, then, you know, and we either had the government stand up, do nothing, or go on the offensive for pro-death. And sadly, it's gone on the offensive for pro-death. We hope to change that tomorrow in Congress. Donald promises he'll sign it. It's a start. Will you take part? When we come back, Lowell's thoughts. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
The point that I'm trying to make is when the people do what's right and they're self-governed based on core values, based on God's law, we don't have any of these problems, folks. And the proper role of limited government can be very minimal indeed. The checks and balances can take place. It's a wonderful thing. But when the people become immoral, there are no good answers. And oftentimes, government feels compelled to step into the moral vacuum. Oftentimes, they get it wrong. Nevertheless, 9 times out of 10, government steps in when the people fail to self-govern. And I think that's where we are, Lowell.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. When we don't discipline ourselves, then we want someone else to govern us, meaning I want someone to govern my neighbor, right? If the morals of my community are slipping, they're sliding, they're down and out, then obviously I'm going to want my government to do something about the problem. We got too much crime going on. We got too much criminal mischief. We got too many loose morals going on. You know, we need government to do something about this. When in reality, we need to take a very introspective look at our own lives. We need to clean up our act, so to speak. We need to govern ourselves, encourage our neighbors to govern themselves, and voila, the problem gets solved. But when you try to force, when we ask government to force people to be good or to do something to solve a problem, it generally ends badly. You know, I just watched that movie called Wonder Woman this week. I hadn't seen it until just late this week, and you know, it's a fun movie. It's interesting, but I couldn't help but notice that Wonder Woman used force and compulsion to win the war, basically the fight that she was fighting. And sometimes I think that all too often is the solution that we seek when we want to win an issue. We will use force to compel others to behave the way we want them to obey, rather than seeking to be their friend and seeking to inspire them with moral behavior and
I agree. We believe in choice and agency as opposed to force. I would say this, though. Think about it this way a little bit. When the people didn't start murdering the most innocent among them, we didn't have a problem for literally decades and centuries in America. It was just not an issue. It was a cultural reality that, of course, everybody's pro-life. Mm-hmm. Then when the people went and turned their backs on God and started murdering their babies so they don't have to suffer the consequences of illicit sex and everything else, then the Supreme Court got involved and said, yeah, we're going to codify death.
Yeah.
And I look at Congress's responsibility and the checks and balances to say, whoa, no, stop. Hold on, court. They should have done this years and years ago, by the way. They should have said, hold on, court. You know what? We're not going to allow this to happen. We're going to protect the most innocent among us. It should be a crime to murder. And we as Congress say, court, you got it wrong. We're going to make it a crime to perform pro-death. And so, you know, it's kind of a debate there. What do you do when all of a sudden it goes to the federal? The court decides something. Now, who can reign in the courts? And I think the states can through nullification. I support that and completely agree with that. The state should say, you're not going to commit death in my state. Not happening. Sorry, court, you're out of control. But Congress on the federal level needs to rein in the courts too and say, hey, wait a minute. This is one of the greatest pro-life opportunities since the Supreme Court wrongful Roe versus Wade decision. We as the Congress are going to directly say, hey, court, you're out of line. A couple of you guys aren't going to create a pro-death policy for decades that murders 60 million most innocent among us. We're not going to allow that to happen. And so there you go. It's a battle, an epic battle. There's no great answers when people disobey God and disobey God's laws. And I agree with you. It's a state's issue. But I also agree at some point you got to rein in those courts. And at some point you got to provide clarity about what the government will do and won't do. Are they going to advocate and promote the murder? Right now, you and I are forced to fund it with our tax dollars. Will Congress stop that? Will Congress rein in the courts? What'll happen? It's inhumane and barbaric if we refuse to stop this murder. So anyway, there you go. Any thoughts with that in mind?
That's a great point, Sam. A strong argument, and so I find it persuasive for Congress to take a defensive posture and say the Supreme Court got it wrong. We're going to right the ship, and we hope that the states will take back their sovereignty one day and not ever let this happen again.
Yeah, and if the people had been the vanguards of pro-life in the beginning and never let this happen, never turned their backs on God, we wouldn't even be debating this. But the people failed, then the states failed, the Supreme Court got it wrong, and now it's up to Congress, based on the checks and balances, to say, whoa, wait a minute, we're not going to let you thug-robe judges just murder everybody. We're going to stop that. Now, states, get a grip here. But in the meantime, we're not going to let the federal government serve as a pro-death mechanism funded by tax dollars. We're not doing that.
Cool. Yeah, I like it.
All right. Any thoughts, Kurt?
You know, just imagine the God of heaven giving us commandments that include thou shalt not kill, and then we go against those and we suffer the consequences. What a surprise.
I don't have to imagine. It's reality all around me, my friend. It's an epic battle.
Great
it's a culture
point.
War, and we got to stand on the right side of the culture war. And I agree with Lowell. We need to be very careful when we start, you know, saying we gotta win the war by force. I mean, at some point we end up in the wrong camp if we're not very careful. And there's a wise wisdom or point in that reality check as well, that we need to be very, very careful about what we advocate for and when and how we advocate for certain things. And I agree with Lowell that, hey, we don't want the federal government just to be involved in everything, because just as easy as they can promote pro-life, they can promote pro-death. Look at the reality check. So there is a balance there, and using the checks and balances is key. But once it got forced to the federal government and to the Supreme Court, I don't see how we can say it's not a federal government issue, because somebody's got to stop the judges over there. And who has authority to stop them? Well, the states do, but they didn't do it. Congress should, but they didn't do it. Now, I think the states and Congress need to both step up and say, you're off your rockers, you whacked out judges. We're not doing that. We don't believe in death. We're not going to codify death funded by tax dollars. We're not going to do that. And so it's a matter of reining in, but I agree that we need to be very careful when we rein this in, that we don't overstep, Lowell.
You're absolutely right, Sam. You're spot on in that analysis. We need the states to step up and quit taking the dole from the federal government and exercising their just authority, which is they were the ones that created the federal government. They are the ones who they call the tune, and the central government should be dancing to the tune of the states, not the other way around.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. See, we're as pro-life as it gets, man. Who else is briefing you on all these details of what happened over the weekend, on the pro-life stance, on the importance of self-government based on core governing values? I mean, who in the media is talking about this stuff like we are, Lowell? Anybody? Can you think of anybody?
I don't know, Sam. Well, maybe, probably not very many people, Sam.
The Christians are, in a lot of cases, when it comes to pro-life, but then they go off and promote war. Or, you know, they go off and promote socialism. Hey, you know what? We're helping with the hurricane relief efforts. Please give us a bunch of federal government money to help, kind of thing.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, they run off the rails in that area. All right, Ron Paul, Campaign for Liberty, talks about taxes. Quick little tidbit for you on this. Kurt and I will cover this in more detail next hour, but I want to get your take real quick. Republicans say the tax plan will lower taxes on all Americans, will jumpstart the economy, and simplify the tax system. Democrats say the plan raises taxes on the middle class and blows a huge hole in the deficit to give tax cuts to the rich. So who's right, says Ron Paul? Well, both sides have a point. By doubling the standard deduction, increasing the child care exemption, and creating a new credit for child dependents, or for non-child dependents, I guess it does cut taxes for many. The framework reduces taxes on the middle and working class Americans. And by reducing taxes on small businesses, reducing the corporate tax rate, and moving to a simpler tax system, they call it a territorial tax system, it should help the economy and create jobs. However, the Democrats do have a point that this tax plan could raise taxes on the middle class. But then he in my opinion, focuses on the most important piece, and I want you to respond to this. But that is because the tax cuts are not matched with spending cuts. And his whole focus is, look, it doesn't matter what we do. Unless spending cuts match the tax cuts, it's a failure. I agree with Ron Paul. Lol.
Well, I do, absolutely do too, Sam. And this gets back to the, letting people keep in their own hands their own money, right? By allowing individuals to keep more of their own money, then they will spend, well, they'll spend their money more efficiently than the government will because they own it. I mean, it's easy to spend someone else's money, which is what the government does. But if you have more of your own money, then you're going to spend that much, much more wisely. And so by doing that, then we have more economic efficiency, more economic liberty, and so forth. And so, it's very, very rare. I don't think I've seen a Congress in the past two or three decades that has actually reduced tax life, you know, the tax burden on the American people. So they are not about to reduce the tax revenues that they get. Even all this tax reform, everybody talks about tax cuts for the middle class. And of course, everybody views themselves as middle class, 95%. And so it's rhetoric. It's demagoguery. And
yes, it is. And in fact, supporters of the tax cut plans even admit that it will increase the deficit by $2.2 trillion, lol.
Decrease the deficit, that's what they're saying?
No, it'll increase the deficit. Even the supporters of the tax cut plan say, hey, we know it'll increase the debt by $2.2 trillion.
Yeah, I believe that.
Or the deficit, I should say, not the debt.
I believe that because if you don't cut spending, if you simply cut taxes without cutting spending, then you're basically going further into debt and you're increasing the inflation tax on yourself and your posterity.
That's exactly right. And the inflation tax is one of the worst of all taxes because it's hidden and regressive, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Lowell, we're flat out of time. Would love you to stay with us, but we know you're swamped today. We appreciate all you do, my friend. Godspeed.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. And you're welcome to use the whatever material I've provided in the next hour.
Thank you, sir. Godspeed. All right, Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty, doing a great job. CampaignForLiberty.org. There he goes. Sam and Kurt will resume in seconds discussing this very issue of taxes. Kurt, get ready. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Network refused to use station. Donate. Help us grow at LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure.